I'm Jeff Hakeem, founder of MCM Wealth. Welcome to our podcast today. We do these podcasts to advise families, business owners, and health professionals. Our approach is to build customized portfolios for each client while offering comprehensive financial planning services. Thank you for joining us today on this educational journey designed to protect your future.
Hello and welcome to the MCM podcast. I'm Wendy McConnell. Today we're talking to Kirk Lowry, the portfolio strategist at MCM and managing member of Advisable Wealth Engines. Hello and welcome, Kirk.
Wendy, I'm very pleased to be here in our ongoing saga trying to take boring subjects and making them interesting. So
exactly. I think we do a pretty good job, don't you?
We work at it, don't we?
It's a work in progress, that's for sure.
Yes.
So what are we going to be talking about today, Kirk?
Succession planning. Ooh. And exit planning. Ooh.
So another, you know, overly excitable topic, right?
Yeah, something great for holiday and cocktail party conversations.
Okay, so pay attention and bring this up at your next party.
Yes, indeed.
All right, so let's start by defining some terms. What is succession planning?
Well, there are two terms there, and they're both important, but the most important I'll talk about in a minute. So succession is simply what's going to happen afterwards. And this is pretty basic. You know, what happens when the big boss leaves? And the big boss can leave happily in retirement, but succession planning also looks at other unfortunate circumstances, such as death and disability. Now, in larger companies, succession planning is not just with the big boss, but it's also, let's say, senior management. Effectively, this is somewhat in the category of career planning. So each executive should have a plan on who will take over his or her job. Most of the time in very large companies, that is a written plan. Mid-sized companies, it's often understood, but maybe not written. But certainly the succession planning we're talking about today is when the owner, the business owner, the majority owner is going to leave. And let's talk about it in the context, for the most part, of the happy circumstance of retirement. So the second term is planning. And as you know, we've talked a lot about planning in these different podcasts that we've done. And again, I'm a big advocate of planning. And here, that's really the more important term. I don't think, Wendy, there are many business owners that don't have in the back of their mind something about what they're going to be doing in retirement, an idea when they're going to retire, and maybe some understanding of how it might work out. But that doesn't really make it in the context of the purpose of succession planning. So you can run into situations. Let's look at a couple scenarios. Let's talk about mom and or dad running a business and they have kids. So the first question is, oftentimes, mom and or dad have this vision that their kids are going to take over the business. And a lot of times that happens. I'll say more recently, that doesn't always happen. Happens rarely in some industries. For example, in service businesses, you know, the mom's accounting firm, the kids just don't want to be an accountant.
Right.
Kind of thing. So there are certainly elements of that. And that's important because there's not only the business dynamic, but there's also the family dynamic. And you can have situations between siblings that maybe both want to run the business. And how is that going to work? Maybe the younger sibling is more intuitive than the older sibling, but the older sibling believes that it's more of a right than the others are considering. All these kinds of things go into. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So the planning is really important. What the planning does, first of all, is it brings these issues out for discussion. It brings them out in the context that we just talked about. It brings them out in the context of senior management, because the business owner obviously has managers most often, to talk this through. If there's a sibling that wants to take a part of the business, you have to make sure that the other managers are okay with that. especially if it's going to be more mandated than earned. So all the things we know about as they go along. And what happens oftentimes is you start off with a small business. Small businesses grow to middle-sized businesses, and middle-sized businesses grow into big businesses. And a lot of times succession doesn't keep up, especially in high-growth companies. That's important, private companies here especially. So that's one of the things we talk about. But there's a lot of things that need to be surfaced in succession planning. Some of them are very unpleasant. Disability and death are there. In the context of a business owner, not only is his or her personhood often wrapped up in the business, but their livelihood as well. So for the same reasons that you would look to things such as life insurance and income planning for survivors, you would do the same thing here. But there's a bigger group, and that's also possibly your partners, your equity partners. You might be a majority owner, but you have other members of your management team that are equity owners. And maybe there are non-equity owners, but very important managers that need to be involved with this planning. So all of those things need to get surfaced, and somewhat uncomfortably. But the other thing that you want to do is to make sure everybody knows their role. What's going to happen if there's a disability? You know, disability happens much more often in situations than death. You know, we saw this through COVID as an example, where you are taken out for 2 or 3 months or whatever the case might be. So what are you going to do? How are you going to keep the business moving forward? If you do have partners, then there's the matter of buy and sell agreements. There's a transition, an understanding in the succession plan of who's going to take over the business in the case of disability or death. And that needs to get funded. So what happens? You have to take out a life insurance policy or a disability policy that needs to get paid for, premiums and things like that. There's a whole host of elements that go into the planning part that we never want to miss, because if you miss it and it has to happen or does happen as you didn't expect, then you're going to suffer. And we all want to minimize suffering in planning. That's the upside of a downside situation is let's minimize the trauma, turmoil, and suffering through good planning.
So many people, though, are kind of, well, that won't happen. So, you know, they don't want to talk about it. So this is good to bring up just for the fact of, you know, it's insurance. It's just like just in case, right?
Well, it is. And partly the way to get through that is everybody has a self-interest. That doesn't mean they're selfish. Sometimes it does. But everybody has a self-interest. And when you start talking about a business, you can focus on each key person's self-interest. They also get a livelihood out of this business, right? They also have personal relationships at work that are important to them. They also have a vision of where the business can go or should go. And all these things need to be taken into account. So when you look at the planning part and you focus on self-interest, everybody then can start to say, you know what? Whatever situation may come about, we want to make sure we get the best value, the most value out of all of the work we put into this thing. And so it takes a little bit of the edge off that this is just something for, you know, helping, you know, the big boss do some retirement planning. It's much bigger than that. You also have to think about, who do you want to be your big boss after the big boss leaves, right? Are you okay, as we talked about, you know, the son or daughter or the children in multiple forms of that? Is that okay? What about selling to a competitor? What about selling to just a financial buyer who just wants to get a rate of return as a passive investor? All these things are part of that envisioning that goes on in planning of where you want to be, so you can plan to get there with the highest possibility to do so.
So that's why it's so important for a business to plan for the succession or the retirement, whatever it was that you were referencing, is so that everybody's taken care of and everybody has an idea of what's going to happen.
Absolutely. There's a happy time of retirement. We often put that on there, but you know, sometimes that transition can be very sad. Because, you know, the big boss has spent his or her life, at least they're working with it, building this business. And maybe it's not their choice. You know, maybe they're just aging out a little bit. They don't have the energy. Maybe they're incurring some health problems. All of these things that go into this. But let's say that's a happy circumstance. But nonetheless, death and disability does happen. So not only do you need to have the ability to transition during periods of grief, you need to think it through so you can allow grief to happen while the business continues to operate. And that often falls under the management. So these things, the more you can talk about them and think them through and envision yourself in that situation, the smoother it can be to allow these things to happen, to know that they're going to happen, to know that in a traumatic situation, you're going to have ways where maybe people have to take time out because of the trauma of losing the big boss, which not only was the big boss, but a friend, and give them time to get away from the business. You know, I've been in situations where, you know, the big boss dies and the office is still there. It's kind of like the same thing in a family's home where you have the bedroom of the loved one. And that's hard. You know, that's hard. You know, how do you do that? Who can help you do that? So, you know, these things are really important and helpful to get done so that harmony and happiness can finally sort of, you know, rule the day again.
Okay. So what are the main objectives then for succession planning?
Well, let's be really boiling it down, and it's getting as much money as you can out of the business, right? That's the end part, which of course relates to, we'll talk about in a minute here about exit planning. But the value of the business determines how much salary I can take, what bonuses I can get. If I own equity, how much my equity is worth. But there's also, you know, this matter of the orderly transition so that it's not just the abrupt Friday I'm leaving and Monday I'm retired. There's transitions. And a lot of these things are common sense, no doubt about it. But it's more of just the mechanism. Somebody has the, let's call it the checklist that they can pull out and, you know, 2 months, 3 months before retirement goes so that these things can be work through when you start bringing in other advisors, the tax people, the legal people to make sure everything's in good order. So this, you know, succession planning is transition in good order and getting as most out of the business as you can. Well, money-wise.
So you mentioned exiting. What is it and what's the objective for that?
Well, in the same way, the exiting process is to get as much money in my pocket as I can. Okay? I mean, in the end, that's the goal. But easy to say, you know, there are some challenges though. So there's I'll call it a bit of debate that is succession planning discrete? Yes, it is. Is exit planning discrete? Yes, it is. But they are related to one another, in my opinion. They shouldn't be done as independent units. They need to be done as a process because you can have a marvelous succession plan, but if you don't have a way to exit the business because you haven't thought about that, having that succession plan is really meaningless. If you have an exit plan without succession planning, it's going to be aimless. And what does aimless mean? It means you're not going to get the value that possibly you could have if you did the right planning for it. So exiting and succession are similar. And one of the things that's often lost is, let's say you have a business and the son or daughter or maybe a mix of the kids are going to run the business. Well, part of the retirement piece is, unless the owner is very wealthy, is they need the money from the exit to fund their retirement. They need to get paid. And that's true whether it's the kids or whether it's a management buyout. Somehow they have to come up with the money to do that. Now, there are ways of accomplishing that, especially with fixed asset businesses like manufacturing companies and other similar business with hard assets. You can leverage those assets and have a way to pay, to take loans out against the assets to help pay. But there's a lot of nuances that it's much more difficult in the service business where there aren't hard assets. So how do you go about that? You can't easily, you know, loan against a law practice or a set of clients. You can't really do that very easily. So those are the things that you want to think through. And that's the part of exit planning. A succession that has an orderly transition, you need to have an exit that also holds hands with the succession plan. So it itself is orderly in that transition. So that's how we want to go about that.
So you said that succession and exiting are similar, but what are the main differences that we have to think about?
Well, succession is a plan. And planning is not just doing the plan, but it's keeping it updated. So a succession plan is, as I call it, an active or living document. It needs to change as circumstances change in the company, regulations in the economy, competitors, technologies, all these things. It needs to adapt and be adapted as it moves along. An exit is much more of a transaction. There's a series of things that need to happen, oftentimes in sequence, and there's a beginning and end to it. And that's where things have to happen. The issue with exit planning is you don't want one part of the process to derail the whole thing. So that's what you can often have in transactional types of processes. You know, you hire an attorney who doesn't get the job done or doesn't do a good enough job, and that delays things, or people get frustrated, and all these components of the process. So you need to be very careful in exit planning, because the smoothness of the transaction ultimately can relate to the success of the transaction, and then the end, the success of the exit.
What makes a good succession plan?
Well, it is active. It's active not only in the document part of it, but it's active in the fact that it's discussed around the management table periodically. It's not lunchtime conversation. It shouldn't be lunchtime conversation because of the magnitude of it. But if you're smart, you know, you plan around that. You know, maybe it's quarterly as you get closer to an exit, but semi-annually you get everybody together and you get it off the bookshelf or open it up from the folder, and you have an afternoon to review it and say what's changed. Because partly the succession plan is a component of business planning. So in business planning, you're talking about competitors and technology and disruptors and the economy. All these things you're doing in your business planning anyway. So just add into that agenda the succession plan update. It may not change, but it's good to talk about it. So that's the first part, getting everybody involved and active and thinking about it, because they're not only doing it for the good of the company, but again, they're doing it for their own self-interest, which helps them commit the time and attention and creativity that often you want to see in an active succession plan. So the other thing that happens is across time, you know, maybe key manager, executive has left the company. More likely and more happily, maybe you've expanded the executive team. So you want to bring them into the discussion, get them up to date on where things are, and get their perspective on it. They may be in the context of the hierarchy. It may be the senior management themselves have hired maybe their successor. So that middle manager needs to be brought into the process possibly at some point as these things move along. So all that's there. The other piece to it is it's not just the internal personnel, but it's getting the right experts in place. There's a lot of expertise that's required to get the initial succession plan put together. There's the tax experts. There's the legal experts to get the buy and sell agreements together and make sure that management agreements are up to date and that they have this succession, you know, built in confidentiality circumstances and things like that. There's estate planning. A lot of people don't think about estate planning in the context of succession planning. It's very important because if you have an effective estate plan, you can save a lot on taxes as that exit occurs. So there's, you know, getting the estate planning done. I often suggest that the estate planning is important, not just for the big boss, but also for the management team. And the nice thing is that if you start including estate planning within the company, then the company can pay the legal bills. It's not just for the big boss, but it's for the senior management. And it's not just the succession plan, but it's also things that might incorporate executive benefits. So these components allow then this to be an expense item of the company, so it's not borne by the individual as that goes along. You know, others, you know, obviously the legal part we talked about, insurance consultants. In a buy-sell agreement, if in fact there's the death of a key manager, the owner, the big boss, then you want to take on an insurance policy to fund then the company during that transition. It might be not only for smoothing the cash flows, as no doubt there's going to be disruptions in the trauma of that, but there's also the matter of having funding to hire replacement that might include things like bonus, sign-on bonuses, and things that are the use of the insurance proceeds. The last one would be things like consultants. Difficult, emotional issue of how am I going to retire? You know, the kids involved and things like that. So you have advisors that come in, counselors, let's call them, that can bring up these issues of emotional challenges and turmoil and things like that, that can help smooth maybe some of the rough edges of relationships that might exist between children or between children and senior management and so forth. So that's, if you're getting all these pieces in place, Wendy, you're going to have a really good succession plan, but it still needs to be updated, as I mentioned.
So if we do all of these things that you say and we update it as needed, nothing can go wrong, right?
Well, we wish. Let me start off the list with what I just left off with. That is, you know, you have the great accomplishment of the succession plan done. Well, now you need to keep it up to date. So what can go wrong? You just don't think about it. So it does need to be there. Somebody needs to be appointed. Oftentimes it can be a senior manager, maybe somebody in HR, or maybe a board member can have it as their task to make sure this is part of that agenda. The worst thing is it's not implemented. You do all this work and the day-to-day stuff just sort of gets caught up in all of it, and you just don't do the work to do it. You know, you don't take the recommendations of the experts that you paid money for. You just don't do it, you know, and that's part of discipline. That's part of leadership. And where does the leadership come? It's from the big boss. But if the big boss is kind of in an emotional turmoil because of it, somebody needs to do it to say, look, again, in our self-interest, it's in our self-interest to get this plan done and executed and make sure we're all on board with what has to happen if and when any of those things that we plan for do occur.
So does an exit mean the end of a business owner's involvement in the business?
Oftentimes not. Maybe sometimes with consternation of the successors. But there's generally good reason for it. So let's talk about two scenarios. Let's talk about the owner of a manufacturing business. It could be pharmaceuticals, it could be machinery, whatever it is. In many of those instances, the buyer, let's assume right now it's an outside buyer, a strategic buyer, for example, competitor. Oftentimes they're buying it for the assets. It might be the patent portfolio. It might be for the physical plant. Maybe the factories are more up to date than what the competitors have, or maybe they're in better locations or different locations for expansion. And a lot of times in those instances, they're buying for the assets and they really don't want the management around. You know, it's let's just make this a clean transition. Boom, you're out. Happy retirements. Have a party, the dinner, whatever. But the next day you're on your way. So in other types of businesses, like with services businesses, professional services, you don't have physical assets to own. You might have patents per se, but oftentimes not. What you're really buying is you're buying territory. You're buying client lists, clients, segments that you're maybe not in. So the worst thing that could happen is after you have agreed to the exit, the big boss leaves, and or maybe the head of sales, and or maybe the head of marketing, they leave. So now what's the risk? Well, those clients that you've acquired to expand into a territory, they get cold feet. They start shopping and you lose the revenue from those clients. Especially important when you have businesses with recurring revenues. So what they'll do, which is very smart, is they'll have an earnout. So they'll go to the big boss and say, look, we're going to give you some cash, but we believe this smooth and orderly transition is not just up to the time when we write you that check, but it's for a couple years after that. And your job is to make sure that we hold on to those assets, the clients, the revenues that we're paying you for. And if you do a good job of that, then maybe you'll get more money, or you will get more money if you meet your targets. And so what you end up becoming is an employee as opposed to the big boss. That can be an issue.
Right.
But oftentimes the risk of losing clients that are loyal to the big boss, or you want to prevent the big boss from leaving and starting a competitor for things like non-competes for a period of time, all of that goes into it. So now the good news is for the big boss that's having that emotional transition or concern can have a transition through an earnout. And those that just want the clean break, they can have the clean break. And this is what the negotiation comes to pass with the seller, the buyer and seller and their counselors and their attorneys. That's what they work out. They negotiate these things. And in the end, lots and lots of businesses sell every day. So you know that these things can be agreed upon.
So it's all part of the plan, right, Kirk?
All part of the plan. And the best plans are the plans that work out.
That's the hope. That's the dream.
That's the dream. Well, you know, we don't want to have too many dreams. We want to have engineer as much of our realities as we can. But that's, again, you know, my advocacy for planning. Let's engineer as much of the realities as we can. That's a good way to leave it off, right?
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, we will stop there. Let's talk about planning and focus on planning. Get a little hope and dreaming. That's good too. But yes, we want you to plan. So thank you, Kirk. I appreciate you being here today. And we'll have you back again real soon.
Thanks so much, Wendy.
All right. And thank you for listening today. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, I'm Wendy McConnell.
This is Jeff Hakeem again. Thank you for listening to this episode of our MCM Wealth podcast. Please click the follow button to be notified of new episodes as they become available. Also, please visit our website at www.mcmwealth.com or call me on my direct line at 415-299-6574 so you and I can have an initial discussion. We look forward to learning about you.